Join me in Psalm 118, and if you would, place your bulletin there, and then go to Romans chapter 8. Psalm 118, and then if you would, join me in Romans 8. And I must tell you again how excited I get on Sunday mornings when I have opportunity, when I know that we are coming together for worship, and how much I enjoy so much our singing together and the prayers and all. But this here that I have the privilege and opportunity to do is preach to you, bring the word to you. It is an incredibly thrilling experience. And the whole thing of church, I can remember when I was a child. Couldn't wait till I turned 18 so I could get out of there. Because I thought the Christians, they just did not have any fun. How little I knew, but since becoming a Christian and since becoming a pastor, life has been anything but boring. Incredible. But today we have a psalm, and as I get over to Psalm 18, it's a psalm of encouragement. But like many psalms, it doesn't start out that way. And so when I get to the psalm, you'll see that, but this message today, I pray by the time we get, 20 minutes from here, just the encouragement of God about you. I pray that you feel and understand and come to grips with in a different way or a growing, maturing way. First of all, as I said, I'd like to start in Romans chapter 8. An incredible piece of Paul's teaching. Beginning with verse 1, and you see it on the screen before you. But also let me say that we do provide the text here for you to read, but do not let this encourage the habit of not bringing your Bible. Because you know me, I go to many places in the Bible, and I want you to go with me, so this is just for your aid in the beginning reading, but please, don't let this encourage the habit of not bringing your Bible. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 37 is the one I would like to direct your attention to, and it hurts me to forsake the other that we read, but I give you verse 37. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him. Conquerors, overcoming those things or people or circumstances that hold us back. Conquerors, we who are Christians are, as the text says clearly, more than conquerors. Not only do we win the war, we receive the gift, we receive the benefit, we receive all of the bounty that comes along with a conqueror. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, has defeated all that would stand against us and gave us eternal, everlasting life, eternal, everlasting victory. I know we Christians are challenged from time to time, and as we get to Psalm 118, you will see this. I know we get challenged from time to time, and we seem as though we've been defeated because life is just so hard. But please bring this text back to mind. There is nothing. You may fall. You may stumble. You may lay in the bed a couple of days. You may have the hardships of the world laying upon you. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Nothing that will defeat you. And why are we more than conquerors? Why are we conquerors? It is the love of God. It is the love of God for His children. It is the love of God that He sent Jesus Christ to save your old dirty soul and mine. And it is in Jesus Christ that we see God and His love that endures forever. Never, ever fades. Never, ever fades. Now, please join me in Psalm 118. Now, Psalm 118 is a particular psalm. We are at the end of the Hallel Psalms. This is the last one of this setting. Next week I'm going to the book of Philippians, if you'd like to read ahead. But this Psalm 118 is a very particular psalm. And as I've said before in these Hallel Psalms, these last three, 16, 17, and 118, were used in the used in the context of a large congregational gathering. 116 and 117, we believe, was in a place of worship. 118 can possibly be in a place of worship, but I believe it was first uttered in a larger, more encompassing context. And as I get through it, you'll see that. But as I said, it is a psalm of encouragement. But it is a psalm that is also very, very personal. And so as I read this, please take it personally. But also, let me help set the context so that you can understand the difference this psalm has for just a minute. Imagine yourself, or at least imagine a conquering king. He is returning back to his kingdom. He is returning back to his people after conquering a vast enemy. He has conquered all of the enemy that has faced him, and now all of his soldiers and he are returning back to his people. In Israel's past, this could have been King David. It could have been King Hezekiah. There are a couple of others that might fit the context, but this is some kingly person returning back to his people. He enters into a great hall, a great arena, filled with people waiting to hear of his conquest. And he speaks, and the people respond. He speaks, and the people respond. Meaning, this is not the first time they've done this. They understand the drill. They understand the routine. And so, as I read this psalm, know that there are different speaking parts. Different individuals or groups of individuals speaking. And so, as I read this, I hope it doesn't take away from the context or the reading of the word. I will try to point them out to you as we read them. Because I want you to get the grasp of what's going on in the reading or in the uttering first of this psalm, Psalm 118. First of all, it begins with the king speaking. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." The people respond, "Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." The king responds, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." The people, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." The king, "All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." The people, "Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." The king, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord, the people. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it, the King. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the people. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Then the king finally once more, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Truly an amazing psalm telling of the wonderful victory that God has given his man and his people. The enemies have been overthrown. The challenges have been met and survived. The trial did not defeat. God's man is victorious. And as a man, woman of God should do, first, the Lord is given credit. Verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And then again in verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The Lord has given credit. The Lord has brought his man, his person, through the trial. However, the victory did not come easy. It did not come, of course, without its challenges. Look at verse 5. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. Verse 10, all nations surrounded me. Verse 11, they surrounded me on every side. Verse 12, they surrounded me like bees. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. Have you ever faced life and you thought, my goodness, there's just so much. It's just overwhelming. I don't know where to start. His analogy of bees surrounding him. Just so much, so much. And even the people cry out in verse 25, save us, we pray, O Lord, give us success. And as the psalmist points out here, the Lord was good to respond. We see in several places where the Lord has answered my prayer. Verse 13, I was pushed hard, but the Lord helped me. Can you see this battle going on? Can you see this challenge going on? Yes, I was distressed, but the Lord answered me. The people cried out, oh Lord, give us success. We are troubled here. And the Lord responds. And again, the Lord is acknowledged for his provisions. Verse 14. This should be quick on our lips, all of us. Verse 14 and following. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The Lord answers the prayers of his people. The Lord is acknowledged by his people here in this great hall, in this great congregation. The king comes in victorious, and the people know how to rightly respond to his leading. The love of the Lord endures forever. I did some reading of Martin Luther's work on this psalm because I knew in some other writings that this was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 16th century, named this his psalm because he said it was so personal. And for him, so heartfelt. I don't know if you know the story of Martin Luther, but he was raised by a very hard man. Very hard man. Very disciplined, overburdensome man who used the whip and stick much too often on his children, I believe. And so Martin Luther grew in fear of his father. He grew in fear of his tyrannous ways from time to time. His father was an attorney, a very exalted man in the town. Wanted Martin Luther to be an attorney. And so he sent him off to law school. Martin Luther didn't want to be an attorney. Imagine that. But yet, because he was afraid of his father, he went. But yet, while he was at school, he began to hang out with some individuals who were Christians. And he left law school and entered the monastery. How do you think Daddy's going to take that news? His dad came to his ordination, but left before he was installed as a monk. But yet Martin Luther grew in this fear. He was still entering into the monastery, but he was fearful because as a father figure, all he knew was the hardship of a father. And so when you spoke of God the Father, all he saw was that hard taskmaster. But fortunately, God's grace reigned through. And Martin Luther came to understand God's grace. But yet the trials and the struggles of taking out that old philosophy and bringing in that new love of God was so hard and so challenging. He would sit up all night long on many nights with a whip and a chain, beating himself because of his sin. He knew that that would be the way the Father treated him. And so he did it himself, trying to beat out the sin. His father figure had shown him that. But fortunately, as I said, God's grace reigned through. And so I can see Martin Luther taking a hold of this psalm, and not the king who was victorious over an enemy, but a man who was victorious over his sin. A man who was victorious over the way he was brought up. The hardship and the hard taskmaster showing him not the love of a father, but the tyranny of a hard man. But he grew out of that. And he became one who wrote extensively about the grace and the love of God. So this psalm, as I said, became very personal to Martin Luther. I think if you spent very much time in this psalm, it would resonate with you as well. You don't have Martin Luther's story. I don't think there's any kings in here vanquishing enemies. But every one of us have our trials. Every one of us have our hardships. Every one of us have so many questions. Distress. Enemies seemingly surrounding us like bees. I call out to the Lord. Sometimes he feels as though he's not even there. How many of you could not say, as the psalmist said in verses 5 through 7, out of my distress I called on the Lord, but the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Please remember that line. Martin Luther, when he read that line, I would almost be assured that his Father's image came in his mind. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph over those who hate me. How many of you have found through experience that verses 8 and 9 are indeed true? Verse 8 and 9, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princesses. How many of you have been let down by someone else? How many of you have been hurt badly by someone else? How many of you put faith in some higher authority, princess, and disappointed? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than in princess. How many of you have uttered words similar to verse 13? I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. How many of us have realized through life's trials that verse 14 is beautifully, beautifully true? Glad songs The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. How many of you have gone through the trials, gone through the hardships, and made it out the other side, and you've come to know God truly as the one of salvation, and God's beauty is the one now that gets you through the next trial because you've experienced that one? God is my salvation. Songs of salvation ring out. And so we can say like a victorious king, we can say as Martin Luther, verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount. Notice the responsibility here. I shall not die, but I shall live, but I'm going to tell someone. I'm going to recount the deeds of God in my life. Because your testimony to that one who's seated beside you may be the instrument God uses to get them to this point of understanding the beauty of victory in Jesus Christ. And then the next trial that you come upon, that person will come back to you and say, you remember? Don't lose hope. Hang on. God's victory. God's victory. And as I read earlier from Romans 8, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of altar, meaning we are being led to worship. We've seen all that God has done, and we are being led to worship God. This is a beautiful psalm, and I pray you make it your psalm. You, as Martin Luther, may claim it as one that you can... It just speaks to me. But there's one more angle to this psalm that I want you to know. It is referred to as a messianic psalm. A psalm of the Messiah. Meaning that its words were, at some point in time, spoken by the Christ. And I'm sure you recognized them as I passed over them. Verse 22 and 23. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, in the first context, the stone the builders rejected was the king. In your personal context, the stone that was rejected may be you. But in its ultimate application, in its ultimate position, we know very well who the stone that's been rejected, that was later made the capstone, and who that is speaking of. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ applied this verse to himself because he was rejected by Israel. He was rejected by his own people. He's been rejected by some of us in this room. And he became the chief cornerstone of God's new house, the church. This verse is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, Ephesians, and Peter's writings. Also, verse 26, have you heard this before? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That Sunday of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, the people cried out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, giving it to Jesus Christ. And then again, look at the entire psalm. Does this not speak of our Lord's life? Does this not speak of the trial of our Lord as he lived upon this earth? As verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. How many times did Jesus Christ give credit to the Father and praise the Father? How many times did he defer from himself and give to the Father the glory? Verse 5, did he not call out in distress in the Garden of Gethsemane? Verse 10 through 12, did not the enemies of Jesus surround him like bees, and yet they were cut off ultimately? And at the resurrection, did he not enter into the courts of his Father, as verse 22 makes reference to? Entering into the courts of the righteous. Again, this brings it back to application to you. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Entering into the courts of the righteous, entering into that safety, that security, the ultimate victory of we who are in battle now. Yes, the war has been won, but you will wage a battle every day. But there is hope beyond hope. There is promise beyond promise. That you, like the victorious king who returned to his people and cried out the victory of God had given him, you one day will enter the courts of those who have gone before you in heaven, and you will give glory to God because of his work in your life. Chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Do you know that you're in heaven now? How about that? You're in heaven now. The best word I could use to understand this is by proxy. Now, that doesn't do it justice fully, but we understand the term. By the work of another, we receive the benefit of. Or as one is standing in our stead, we receive the position of that one who is there in our place. Jesus Christ is seated in the heavenly realms. And as Paul teaches in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6, if we have been united with him in his death, and united with him in his resurrection through baptism, we are by all means seated with him right now in the heavenly realms. Heaven is my home. I have so much more to give thanks to God for than the king who defeated a simple enemy on the plains of Israel. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, I have defeated his greatest opponent. I have defeated my greatest opponent. You think I could use Psalm 118 as my own? By all means. By all means. Martin Luther, who called it his favorite, understood this, wrote extensively about this. He understood that, yes, he was given a bad portrayal of God through his father. But he came to understand the graces. He came to understand the love. And he taught that to his people afterwards. As the old commercial used to say, life is hard. And you ain't going to get out of this place alive. But you will never, ever, ever, ever leave this place defeated. You can't. You can't. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And it's the very thing I spoke of last week. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then yeah, death is yours. Two of them, actually. Death of the flesh, death of the spirit. Absence from God in eternity is the death of the spirit. So we can speak of victories. We can speak of hope. We can speak of God through Jesus Christ seated in the heavenly realms for you right now. But if you're not a believer, all of that falls on deaf ears. You have no clue what I'm speaking of. Life is hard. Our enemies are all around us. The challenges seemingly never end. Heartache comes, sometimes without warning. Defeat sometimes seems a bygone conclusion. And if we only look to this here, if our sight is only on this temporal earthly being, then yes, that may be true for you. But when we open our eyes, or when the Spirit has opened our eyes to the things of eternity, when the Spirit opens our eyes to the things of eternal living, when you think about you being seated in the heavenly realms, that you are in Christ Jesus in heaven now, you are enjoying the eternity with Christ now, then I pray your vision becomes so much more than a simple 2020. It becomes so vast and so immeasurable that you can see the glory of God and it gets you through that trial. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear anything evil. My Lord's already been there. That enemy's taken care of. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, your love endures forever. And forever I am in your care, and forever I will enjoy your beauty. Hardships come, challenges come, but as I hold tight, nay, as Lord Jesus holds tight to my hand, I shall never fall away. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. His love endures forever. In Jesus' holy name, amen.